from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hey, Dylan, can you send Dieter? Yeah, get Dieter. I need to talk to him. I think he's down at the Todd Starnes Radio Show Commissary. Hello, everybody. Pardon me. I normally don't take care of my personal business on the air, but we got a lot going on today, and so just bear with me for a few moments. Dieter, I'm working on the summer vacation schedule. I need to check the Delta flights to Six Flags over Hamas, so if you don't mind, I want to make sure I get in there before the prices start going up.
I'm checking the itinerary now.
Thank you very yes. If you could, I've got a special discount I get.
First class?
All the way, baby.
Okay.
Also, Gazalago, if you could book me a suite there at Gazalago, that would be great.
Okay. They haven't added any nonstop flights yet, so we'll have to do a connecting.
Are they still parachuting people in? I've heard.
The paragliders? Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. I know everybody's upset about this, and I don't know why everybody's upset about President Trump. We were watching the big press conference yesterday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. May I just say something about BB? May I call him BB? I think we're on a first-name basis. Netanyahu was having the time of his life, and I think he was trying not to laugh a lot during yesterday's press avail and then the official press conference.
Mm-hmm.
He was having a good time. But as President Trump announced yesterday, the United States plans on taking over the Gaza Strip, and the president wants to turn Gaza into a world-class tourist destination.
Are we getting to name it like he's doing the Gulf of America?
I think so. I recommended yesterday on this show, before President Trump even mentioned this, I suggested calling it the Israeli Riviera.
Ooh.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
We got the Redneck Riviera down in the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, it's...
Gulf of America.
So what was the other one you said? You posted about
Six Flags over Hamas.
No, that's not going to appease the American tourist.
Gazalago?
Gazalago. I like that one.
Yeah, that's good. I mean...
It's already been leveled, so it's not like you have to go in there and do any evacuation. No. It's already a parking lot.
ABC News yesterday, or last night, was just enraged over this. What are we going to do with all the rubble? And I'm like, build on top of it. I just get a bulldozer out there. There's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a beautiful destination, though. It's right there on the sea. You've got the beautiful beaches. So I don't see a downside here. Well, aside from, global jihad. But otherwise, look, can you imagine Jews and Gentiles catching rays on the Israeli Riviera?
Yeah.
Maybe a spa day at the luxurious Gazalago?
Rubble to resorts.
I just got a text. What about the Muslims? Well, they wear the hijabs and they're not going to get a tan. It's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
They're fully clothed.
So what's he doing with the people there?
Well, he wants to relocate them. And here's the thing. Nobody wants them, right? Not even their own people. Not even their own Muslim people want the Gazans.
Yep.
Nobody wants them. Egypt, guess what Egypt did? They built a wall to keep the Gazans out. They built a literal wall.
So you still haven't answered my question. Where are they going?
They're going to be the help.
Oh.
If you've seen the movie, they're going to be the help.
The maids, someone's got to change the sheets at the resorts.
But they're hard workers. You got to rake the sand.
Mm-hmm.
They did that at a resort I stayed at.
Bottle service.
Somebody actually, side note here, folks. I was staying at Shutters on the Beach, which is a beautiful little, it's a pretentious place. They don't mean to be, but they're right there on the beach in Santa Monica. And they have their own private beach, which means they literally rope off a section of the public beach. And somebody made the observation, wow, the rich people's sand is so much nicer than regular people's sand. And I'm like, wow, you know what? They've got a point here because they're out there raking. They're raking the sand. But they could do that in Gaza.
Okay.
So there are job possibilities there. Unless you're talking, well, and the question is, will they be able to drink the booze, because that's an alcohol-free place. So they'll have to figure all of that out.
Yeah. Did you have that on your bingo card?
Didn't have that one on the bingo card.
Same.
So Senator Rand Paul's really upset. There are a lot of Republicans. Everybody's getting outraged over this. And I think it's just hilarious because it all works out. There is a method to the madness. And I know this sounds absolutely insane, but when you step back and think about it for a moment, nobody wants these people. The entire area has been turned to rubble. There's nothing there at all. Why not turn it into some sort of a world-class tourist destination, something like an Abu Dhabi?
I'm trying to listen to the vision. You're painting a beautiful picture. I just don't want to get blown up. So something's going to have to happen because I'm not going to the beach and, you know, the next thing I know, I'm sitting on a landmine or one of those bombs.
Well, that could make it even more adventurous.
No, there's got to be some safety protocol. I won't even go to Israel. You know how they do all the trips to Israel every often?
Yeah.
No one's going to Israel right now because they're all worried about the Gazans. So something's going to,
Well, look, there's a method to the madness here. I love the fact that now nobody's talking about USAID. They're all talking about Gaza. And that may be part of the strategy here. But look, I don't know if anybody else has come up with an idea. Nobody has. Nobody's figured out what to do with Gaza. Nobody knows. So Trump sat down and said, all right, here's a thought. It's a beautiful area, and it really is absolutely beautiful. The beaches, the coastline, the way the coast curves in that area. It's truly a beautiful area. Well, it was. Now it's a third world hellhole, but it used to be nice, and it could be nice. Back in the day, and Ben Dieter, you would not know this, but many of our esteemed and well-traveled listeners would. Back in the day, Beirut was known as the Paris of the Middle East. It was a luxurious city, a beautiful place. Tehran, back before the Ayatollahs took over, was also a glamorous Middle Eastern destination. And I think that's what President Trump is vision casting is what the president is trying to do.
Okay.
Vision casting.
So it's interesting because Trump was actually asked, what are you doing with all the Palestinians? Should they be moved outside of Gaza? He said all 2.2 million of them. And so now the global community is saying this would violate international law, and all the EU countries are coming out and blasting Trump because you can't remove. They're all asking for the two-state solution, and Trump just went to, we'll take the American solution.
I like that. Here's President Trump, cut number 15.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area.
The people, you see, it's not a very large area. It's about the size of Rhode Island, so it's not all that large. Mm-hmm. Here's more from the president talking about the Israeli Riviera. Cut 12.
Just to follow up on what you were saying about the Gazans leaving.
Oh, that's eyebrow check.
Going to other countries. One, where exactly are you suggesting that they should go? And two, are you saying they should return after it's rebuilt? And if not, who do you envision living there?
I envision world people living there, the world's people. I think you'll make that into an international, unbelievable place. I think the potential in the Gaza Strip is unbelievable. And I think the entire world, representatives from all over the world, will be there and they'll live there. Palestinians also. Palestinians will live there. Many people will live there. But they've tried the other, and they've tried it for decades and decades and decades. It's not going to work. It didn't work. It will never work. And you have to learn from history. History has, you know, just can't let it keep repeating itself. We have an opportunity to do something that could be phenomenal. And I don't want to be cute. I don't want to be a wise guy. But the Riviera of the Middle East, this could be something that could be so bad. This could be so magnificent. But more importantly than that is the people that have been absolutely destroyed that live there now can live in peace in a much better situation because they're living in hell. And those people will now be able to live in peace. We'll make sure that it's done world class. It'll be wonderful for the people.
Kind of like maybe Dollywood? Maybe we could set up like an amusement park, like Ahmedwood or something. I don't know.
It's wow.
It could be like the Gatlinburg of the Middle East.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
The Redneck Riviera. You know, it's
Hollywood.
It's what President, but what President Trump said is true, though. The Gazans are basically being held hostage by Hamas, right? So you, once you get rid of Hamas, the question then becomes, okay, do these, you know, what do the Gazans want? And I think at the bottom of, at the end of the day, when you're talking about the Middle East, it really is about money. Mm-hmm. And especially in these Arab communities. And if you're looking at, I know Saudi Arabia and all the others, the reason why they're pitching a fit is they're afraid Trump's going to dump the Gazans over in their countries.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what Trump is saying here. He said, you know, this, again, he wants to turn it into an international destination.
Well, the senior Hamas official said after Trump's remarks and this pre-post relocation, he's calling it a recipe for creating chaos. He said, our people in Gaza will not allow for these plans to come to pass. What is needed is the end of the occupation. And Trump's not the answer. That's essentially what the senior Hamas officials are saying.
Right now, anything would be better than what they've got. Anything. Could you imagine, though, the tunnels? You have all the tunnels. Flood the tunnels, and it could be like the world's longest tunnel of love. You know, and you could have like little gondoliers.
You thought about this, didn't you?
I have been.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it.
Okay.
Yes, hummus on a stick. This is exciting. I would invest. Let's go to James in Newburgh, North Carolina. James, I understand you've got a name for Gaza, the new Gaza.
Gaza Vegas.
Gaza Vegas.
Gaza Vegas, man.
Viva Gaza Vegas.
Vegas.
I love that. James.
Hey, ride a camel through the hotel. Hey, man, I got it figured out.
I love that. So the so instead of like taxis or Ubers, you have Uber camels or something. I like that.
Hey, man, be easy on the environment, too.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it is.
And instead of the Vegas Strip, it's the Gaza Strip. It's perfect.
Oh,
hey,
man, yeah. We figured it out.
Hey, check it out. Are y'all tired of winning yet?
I'm winded, but I'm not. I'm not, James. All right. God bless, man. Let's go to Jeremy in Iowa. All right, Jeremy, what say you?
Oh, Todd and Ben, this is a wonderful opportunity that has arrived, because what needs to happen now is there needs to be a completely wide open border into Egypt so that all these poor people can go in and get the jobs that the Egyptians just won't do. They can live in their homes and in the streets, and there can be money, and the world can rally around it, and it's just going to be a wonderful
I think there's an Old Testament story about that. Didn't turn out too well. Yeah, look, I mean, the deal here is the Egyptians, the Syrians didn't want them. Jordan didn't want them. The Egyptians didn't want them. So it's so, and what Trump is doing
Israel
here,
has to have them.
That's right. You're that's right. Right. But Israel is, yeah. And so that's what Saudi Arabia, they don't want them. That's what this is all about. All right, Jeremy, got to run. Thank you for that. Folks, do you have a name for whatever Gaza's about to come? We've got Gaza Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Vegas or Gaza Strip.
Yeah.
We've got Six Flags over Hamas.
That happened so bad. I'm just so uncomfortable hearing that.
And we
Gaza Lago.
Gaza Lago. Give us a call, 901-260-5926. And do you think it's a good idea? Should the United States take
Gaza
over
World.
Gaza?
Gaza World. Instead of Disney World.
Jeez-a-loo. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Folks, I got to tell you, eggs, they're still a little pricey out there, and it's going to take some time for those to come down. And we explained that earlier this week on the show. The reality is it's a mess. The economy's a mess, and it's going to take some time for Trump to work all this out. And then, again, the trickle down, the egg prices will come down. What I'm saying is that you need to start taking actions now to protect your savings, to protect your retirement fund. And if it's all in a 401k, you got big problems. Your retirement plan is in jeopardy. That's just the cold, hard facts. So the good news is you can do something about it. And that's why my friends at Priority Gold are big, big fans of the Todd Stearns program. They want to give you a free wealth protection guide, a step-by-step plan to fortify your savings, diversify your savings and retirement with gold. There is no cost, no obligation. Just text the word Todd to 24999. That's Todd to 24999. Or go to PriorityGold.com to get your free gold guide today. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines. Memphis, Tennessee, Lee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Lee. All right. I'm curious to hear your name selection for Gaza.
Trump World.
Oh, that's brilliant. I like that.
Trump World, and just like in Vegas, there will be the Sands Resort.
The Sands Resort.
Free camel rides.
I love that.
And in the casino, you can play your Trump card and be a winner.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is like Leah's playing at the Holiday Inn Blue Room tonight. Well done.
Yeah.
I love this. Okay, Lee, thank you for the suggestions. 901-260-5926, Trump World, Sands Hotel, and Camp Free Camel Rides.
I like this. You know, it's interesting because the global community, they are, oh my gosh, Todd, they are so mad that Trump is proposing this. And they think this is some form of a land grab from the Kushners, because they have this audio of Jared Kushner 1 year ago saying the waters right along the Gaza Strip are wonderful and the best water ever. So they're like, this is Trump just wanting to expand Trump International to build hotels and resorts and casinos like he did in New York and in Manhattan, Chicago, and extend that over to the Middle East.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean,
it's better than what they have now.
It's better than what they have now, which is rubble. Rubble. Mm-hmm. And they're being held hostage by terrorists.
I bet if you gave some of the Gazans the vote, I bet they would choose Trump to be their leader than a Hamas leader. I don't know, though.
Gaza or Greenland. So hold on. We're doing Gaza, Greenland, Canada, Panama Canal Zone, and possibly Mexico. Anybody else? Are we just...
Global domination.
Yes.
When he said the golden era, I didn't realize it meant taking over every continent.
So Rand Paul is really upset about all of this. And he says this violates the spirit of the America First movement. And he says we've got no business taking over any other countries or forcing the Gazans out. So there you go. That's pushback from Senator Rand Paul out of Kentucky. Look, folks, just like the tariffs, you got to understand this president plays the long game. He is playing like six-dimensional chess here. He's moving pieces and parts around, and he has an ultimate strategy. You may not know what that strategy is right now. I mean, when it's all said and done, we could end up owning, I don't know, France.
Ukraine, please.
Ukraine.
I mean, the U.S. should take Ukraine.
Really?
Yeah. Because then we can kick Zelensky out of office and get our money back.
We can send
all our money's
Gaza.
Already there.
Well, we think it is. There are some reports that money may be in the DNC coffers. So we'll need to check on that. All right, folks, hang tight. There is so much to talk about today. 901-260-5926. You think it's a good idea to take over Gaza, Greenland, Panama Canal Zone? We'll be right back, America. For a number of years, customers have been asking if MyPillow sells cross necklaces like the one Mike Lindell proudly wears every day. Well, they are excited to announce that Mike has partnered with a jeweler right here in America to create a beautiful sterling silver MyCross. You can save 30% today using promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square or call 800-839-8506. And be sure to use that promo code STARNS. You can choose from the women's or men's style. The MyCross for women has a more delicate look, reversible with mother-of-pearl style translucent white enamel on one side and black enamel on the other. The MyCross for men has a slightly larger cross with black enamel and a slightly longer, thicker chain. This amazing offer won't last long, so order now. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us today. It is, folks, there is so much happening. Even the drive-by media folks cannot keep up with all of the breaking news coming out of this Trump White House. And what's really fascinating is we are watching the fundamental retransformation of our federal government. And may I just say this, and I am a proud registered Republican. I am a very conservative Republican. But this really does transcend political parties. This is getting America back to what America is supposed to be about. And there's no way that we should be spending all of this money on what we've been spending it on. I know there's a lot of people out there very upset over USAID, and they're saying, "Oh, we're going to be causing mayhem around the world." No. That's not it. We're not the world's policemen. We've got to take care of the American people first. And here's the best part of all, and God love Elon Musk. Let me say something about Elon for just a moment here. All right? You've got Elon and his Ben Dieter. I don't know if you've seen the guys. He's assembled like this squad of teenagers just right out of high school and college. And they're the ones that are literally rewriting the code, and they're finding all of this grift in the Treasury Department. It's really remarkable.
They're doing what Janet Yellen could never.
Janet Yellen, she's a felon.
Yeah.
Yelling like a felon.
Yeah, she was our treasurer, and she was responsible for a lot of this crap.
You know what they're calling him now, ladies and gentlemen? They're calling Elon the sledgehammer. Yeah, so get this. Are you ready for this, ladies and gentlemen? USAID, right? USAID. They were spending more than $20 million to create an Iraqi version of Sesame Street. And the show was meant to promote inclusion and respect in Baghdad.
Wait, where?
In Iraq.
They have an Iraqian Big Bird?
Yeah, Ahmed Bird.
Oh, wow. He speaks Arabic, doesn't he? Yes,
I think he does. He's a Muslim bird.
Oh.
And look, I got no problem with that.
Wait, Big Bird has a hijab.
You want to put Ernie and Bert in burkas? Oh, I'm great with that. And by the way, we don't judge. We don't judge here. I'm just saying, that's great. But why do I have to pay for that? Why do I have to pay for Iraqi Sesame Street? Where, I don't know, Oscar the Grouch's garbage can could be an IED.
Do they not know about Bert and Ernie, Todd? Because I think they might have a problem with that part of the script.
They're best
in
friends.
In the Middle East.
They're just best friends who share a bedroom.
I don't want to see Bert and Ernie getting thrown off buildings.
Stop. Stop. We're in trouble. Mommy, what is Mr. Todd talking about? We love Bert and Ernie. You can't go over to their house, kids. Stay away from Bert and Ernie.
And Elmo.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Elmo's a little pervy. Obviously, he's pervy.
Oh, tickle me.
Yeah, we're good. Thank you, Elmo. So, look, here's the thing, and I just don't get this. We had Congressman Mike Flood was on my Newsmax show last night, and we had a good time. He says, and he's from Nebraska, and he was like, why are we funding sex change operations in Guatemala? Could somebody explain that to me? And, you know, it's a great question the congressman raises, and we'll try to play some of the audio from that interview later in the show. But in all seriousness, I want you to understand, we're funding billions and billions of dollars, and we are providing money for sex change operations in Guatemala, and there's the transgender opera in Colombia. But in all seriousness, ladies and gentlemen, at this very moment, there are thousands of military veterans. You just drive down to your local VA medical center, and there are veterans who are waiting days, weeks, sometimes months for medical care. There are veterans that are dealing with, we can't even begin to imagine what they're dealing with. Combat veterans who are literally suffering, walking on the streets of American cities, they got no place to go. And I'm really hard-pressed to find any justification for spending our tax money on a Muslim version of Big Bird when so many American people are going without. Now, if that makes me a bad person, okay, so be it. But I just believe that we should be putting the American people first. That's all this is. And when you look at all the surveys out there, everybody else agrees with me. They do. Because everybody sees it. Everybody knows what's going on. And all of these organizations, by the way, and this is something that will be investigated. Yesterday, there was a big story about Politico. The paychecks never came. The paychecks never arrived at Politico. Now, that news dropped as we learned that USAID funding had been cut off from everybody. So people are now wondering, okay, was Politico getting any kind of money? Were they getting kickbacks from USAID? Is that what's going on here? But beyond that, Elon and his team of sledgehammers, guess what? They found that our tax money was being funneled, was being laundered through USAID to the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation. And you know what they were doing with that money? The BBC was using that money to produce anti-Trump stories. This is insanity. So if they're doing that to the BBC, I'd be willing to wager a delicious Chick-fil-A sandwich that many news organizations in this country are getting money from the federal government as well. And maybe, just maybe, that's why Politico's checks never came yesterday. I'm just saying. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I could use that spa day at Gazalago. Could you imagine the golf course? I mean, and you could even have probably one of the best. You could have the PGA Tour. You know, Saudi Arabia is already involved. You get them over there. But what can make it really fun is when you're when you're in the sand traps, that there could actually be hidden IEDs in there. So you got to be careful where you're swinging Big Bertha. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Let's go to James in Little Rock, Arkansas. James, what's on your mind?
Go Hawks. I just wanted to get that out of the way.
James, we're hanging up on you now.
But I've got a good happy hour idea. You've got to hear it, so please don't hang up on me.
I'm all ears.
Okay, Gazalago is Muslim, and I understand that they don't like their alcohol. Okay, so be it. So instead of a happy hour, you have a jihad hour. And what? Every drink is a virgin drink, right? There's no alcohol in it, so it's a virgin drink.
And 52 virgins.
Every order, you get 72 of them. So,
ooh,
yes.
72 virgins.
Give him something. And James, that is brilliant.
I love that idea. Now, you know, we reported yesterday, and we haven't been able to independently confirm this, that the same company that made the cell phones, the Israeli company that made the cell phones that exploded, were actually going to step in after Trump, you know, canceled the $50 million for condoms for Gaza. And this company says they'd be more than happy to actually create condoms for the Gazans.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's what could go wrong with that?
Boom, baby. Boom, diddy. Boom, boom, boom. James, I love this idea. So say it one more. I want to hear this one more time.
Yeah. Instead of a happy hour, you have a jihad hour, and every drink is a virgin drink, and you get 72 of them when you order.
Wow.
So that's, yeah.
I can think there might be some bladder issues, maybe some kidney issues, but otherwise, I love this idea.
Yeah, because that's what they, so a mocktail, they will serve the mocktails because they don't drink cocktails because that's the alcohol. It's also known as a virgin alcoholic or a virgin drink. This is brilliant stuff. I think you have the smartest, most brilliant audience in America.
Dare I say witty.
Yeah, very.
James, hang tight. We're going to send you a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And would love to get a copy of that to you. So hang tight, James, and we'll get all of your particulars here. That's pretty clever.
I didn't know that they didn't drink. That's breaking news to me.
Oh, yeah.
I just learned this on your show. Why?
You know, Trump doesn't drink either.
I know, but for probably different reasons.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Okay.
They're real big on the teas and the fruit juice.
Okay.
So that's, yeah, that they don't, it's an alcohol-free zone, which could explain a lot.
Yeah.
Right? You got to take the edge off.
Yeah. There's a lot of logistics. We're working through it together. This is like a 3-hour working session that we're doing together to create this land.
We're creating like a whole new world, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Epcot.
It's kind of like Zoo Tycoon, like the tycoons you could play on the computer games.
I love this. 901-260-5926. By the way, President Trump also issuing a warning to Iran. I love how President Trump just thinks all of this stuff out. Someone asked him, okay, what happens if Iran actually follows through and assassinates you? And here's what the president had to say, Cut 11.
It's Iran and their proxies who have threatened to retaliate against you and your team by killing you guys for taking out Soleimani.
Well, they haven't done that, and that would be a terrible thing for them to do, not because of me. If they did that, they would be obliterated. That would be the end. I've left instructions. If they do it, they get obliterated. There won't be anything left. And they shouldn't be able to do it. And Biden should have said that, but he never did. I don't know why. Lack of intelligence, perhaps. But he never said it. If that happens to a leader, or close to a leader, frankly, if you had other people involved also, you would call for total obliteration of a state that did it. That would include Iran.
Yeah, I believe that. And Iran would be a glass parking lot at the end of the day. That's what would happen if they tried to do that. But again, it does remind us that there are some very bad actors here in this country that are trying to kill Donald Trump and the leadership. If they target the Trump administration, it's all over for whatever country does that. And I think they understand that, because in the Middle East, the Muslims, they don't understand appeasement. They only understand brute force. And they know Trump will deliver, because Trump has already done that, you know, with Soleimani. Remember the great press conference when he came out?
Kaboom! Yeah.
He died like a dog. That's great. Okay. Can we talk about the Democrats? They have just, in the past few moments, they have just announced articles of impeachment against Donald Trump in the House of Representatives. What took them so long? In all seriousness, what took you people so long? So now the Democrats are out there, and they're causing all sorts of mayhem. Yesterday, they had an insane, I mean insane, gathering, like pre-insurrection pep rally. And this is just a smidge of the Democrats, and these are all elected leaders here, targeting President Trump and Elon Musk. Cut number 9, please.
To our Republican colleagues, if you do not see the light, we will bring the fire. Resist!
We are going to be in your face. We are going to be on your asses.
We have days to stop the destruction of our democracy. We have work to do.
Tell Elon Musk to take his hands off your money.
We don't pledge allegiance to the creepy 22-year-olds working for Elon Musk. We pledge allegiance to the United States of America.
We'll win. We will win. We will win. We won't rest. We won't rest.
No, and our apologies there for the language, but this is, I wanted you to hear the hate and the vitriol. These people hate God, by the way, so they don't care about using his name in vain.
Since when did they pledge allegiance to America?
That's it. And they got to come up with a better cheerleader than Chuckie Schumer, right? The guy, he's just, I don't know, he's a Debbie Downer type.
He needs a cocktail.
Among other things. So we're going to play more of this in the next hour, but understand this. They had some very dangerous people marching in the streets of D.C. yesterday. I'm not kidding you. These are people that are pledging their allegiance to Hamas, and you've got Democrat Party leadership. They're out there, and they're getting this crowd. They're getting a rise out of the crowd, just like Maxine Waters did. This is going to be, and hear me on this, this will turn into violence. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next week. But they are laying the foundation for violence in the streets of America. And we will hold the Democrats responsible, because that's what they're doing with this kind of vitriol, this kind of language.
This is how Trump got assassinated almost.
Two times.
Yep.
Two times. Jasmine Crockett. I want to play this real quick. This is Jasmine Crockett, a graduate of Rhodes College. She's a Congress chick from Texas. She is a foul-mouthed cut number five.
But let me tell y'all something.
Tell me something.
So some of y'all have been frustrated, and you've been saying, where are Democrats? Where are our leaders? Well, I'm here to tell you that we ain't never left y'all.
Go ahead.
All right? We are here. We are also going to make sure that they uphold the law. We are not going to sit around while you go ahead and desecrate our Constitution, or you look at the laws that have been passed into law and say, never mind, we'll just ignore that. Instead, we are going to be in your face, we are going to be on your asses, and we are going to make sure, you understand what democracy looks like.
Yeah, that is a dangerous woman right there. By the way, I don't know what it is.
Someone give her a chill pill? Like, no need to scream.
Or a husband.
Yeah. A dog.
Yeah.
Something.
She needs something. She needs something, that one. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Thank you, our good friend Wyatt Cox from our great radio affiliate in Nevada, KELY. And Wyatt shared this audio with us. That's actually from a commercial that was originally aired on the radio back in 1957 by Stan Freberg. So well done, Wyatt, for going back into the archives for that great little story. Real quick, let's go to Patty in Statesville, North Carolina. Hi, Patty. What's going on?
Oh, my God. You know what, Trump? Let me tell you something. This guy, he's the best multitasker I've ever seen in my life. He does everything in 2 weeks, Todd. 2 weeks, this guy has, I mean, my God, in 4 years, crickets. with the other dimwits. And I'm going to tell you about my daughter was in New York yesterday. She passed by all these people screaming. She said, Mom, it was like a circus. She said, half of them look like they should lay down and don't have the courtesy to do it. And Chucky Schumer screaming, we are going to win. Do they remember November 5th, Todd?
They lost, Patty. They lost. All right, Patty, good hearing from you, my friend. Give us a call back. All right, got to take a quick break here, folks. Hang tight. Hour two of the Todd Stern Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, I have a question for you, and I think I know where our audience falls on this particular issue, but there are several incidents that have occurred that I think garner a conversation about this. So, in Atlanta, Georgia, there was a teenage kid. The teenage kid burglarizes somebody, and the teen gets shot and killed. And the mother of the teenager says, I know he did wrong, but why did you have to shoot him? Now, in Memphis, Tennessee, or West Memphis, Arkansas, right across the river, there was also a burglary. You had an 11-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 16-year-old. And they staged a home invasion robbery. And the guy, the homeowner, happened to be a law-abiding gun owner. He opens fire. He shoots and kills the 14-year-old. And the other two were able to escape. Now they're all arrested. But they interviewed the grandmother of the dead kid. And the grandmother said, I know he did wrong, but why did he have to kill him? Last night in Philadelphia, there was an attempted carjacking. Four 13-year-olds. And are you hearing the narrative here? Is that the criminal thug population in America is getting younger and younger. So you had four 13-year-olds, and police confirmed that the 13-year-olds were breaking into a car, and the owner happened to have a firearm. The owner also, legally, he was allowed to carry that weapon. He had a carry permit, and he opened fire. Here's Philadelphia PD.
They were trying to break into his car.
Yeah, the owner of the vehicle was called on the phone by a neighbor who has surveillance cameras and told the car owner, it looks like four juveniles are trying to break into your vehicle right now. And that's when the owner then retrieved his weapon, which he has a permit to carry, went out and confronted these four that were clearly trying to break into his car because there's fresh damage to the lock mechanism of the driver door. According to the car owner, one of these juveniles pulled a handgun. We're not sure if that juvenile fired any shots at this time. We're not sure. But the vehicle owner, who has a permit to carry, fired several shots, striking two of the 13-year-olds. One shot in the leg, one is shot in the lower back. The two who were not shot fled on foot. So the police not only found the two 13-year-olds that were shot about a block away, because they fled from the scene also, the police found the two that were shot, took them to CHOP, and about two blocks away, they found the other two juveniles, stopped them, and both of them were positively identified by the vehicle owner who fired the shots.
All right, so the long story short here, you've got two 13-year-olds, and they both got shot by the owner of the car. People are now calling for the owner of the car to face charges. They're saying that the owner should not have opened fire on the thugs who were stealing his car. Now, my philosophy is very clear here, and maybe it's because I live in one of the most dangerous cities in America. We're trying to change that, and it's going to take some time. But right now, Memphis is a very dangerous city. And the conversations that many people have here in this city, usually, and Ben, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you know, people do talk about crime a lot. I mean, it really is top of mind, whether you're going out to dinner, are you going to go downtown, are you going to go to this part of town, are you going to Uber, because a lot of people don't even want to drive their cars into the downtown area anymore.
Yeah. You can't go to Kroger without your head being on a swivel. It's just that simple.
I mean, that's the way it is. I know what they're, you know, I mean, you see the same national news stories, ladies and gentlemen, but again, the issue is, would you rather be robbed by an older person or one of these children? And to a person, they will say, we would rather be robbed by the older people because at least that way we may lose our wallet, but we won't lose our life. But these young thugs, they have no understanding of the value of life. And this is not about skin color at all. And I haven't mentioned skin color at all because I don't want this to be about a race issue. But there is a segment of the population, and it is a scary segment of the population, and they are not raising these children to be humans. They're raising them to behave like savages. And by savages, I mean people who do not value life. They don't know right from wrong. They are even worse than animals because at least animals have some sort of a code of honor among the animal community. And it is a dangerous, dangerous world that we are living in. And I just, you know, I just rattled off a couple of big national stories that involve kids who are doing grown-up crime. So my philosophy is this. I mean, if you're a homeowner and you've got people breaking into your home in the dark of night, you have every right to protect yourself and your family. If you own a car, and by the way, the story is that the guy didn't just open fire. These boys pulled out a gun. We don't know at this point if they were able to get off a couple of rounds. It doesn't matter. Once you pull out a gun, you're on your own, pal. So if you want to, I mean, play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And I hate it for the families. You know how I hate it for most, though? I hate it for the person who has to pull that trigger because they have to live with that for the rest of their lives. Do you think this guy in Philadelphia did anything wrong when he shot these 13-year-olds breaking into his car? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, Ben, I want to talk about this melee that happened in Memphis, Tennessee yesterday, where police officers were physically attacked and beaten by these Black Lives Matter thugs.
Women.
They're all women, right? Most of them are women.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. So there was a woman, and this is, I love this part of the story. There's a place called the Crosstown Concourse, and it used to be the old Sears and Roebuck catalog. So they used to make the Sears Roebuck catalogs there back in the day. And so now it's one of these highfalutin, you know, it's a gathering place for
all the cool kids,
for the hipsters.
Yeah.
And they have a cafe there called the Global Cafe. It's owned by people from Africa. As a matter of fact, they intentionally hire chefs from these refugee countries like Syria, Sudan, Venezuela. And so anyway, one of the Black Lives Matter chicks was in there, and I guess she had basically used the restaurant to conduct her own personal business. And the manager said,
"Let's move along. Let's move along, sweetheart." I guess she had done five meetings, and you've got to think, they closed down roughly around this time. They're not open all night.
So she declined to do so, and she screamed racism. She's accusing the people from Africa of being racist.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that we understand that.
That's right. And okay. Pulls out her phone immediately and starts filming.
All right. So the police are summoned. A massive crowd gathers. And by massive, I don't mean weight. I just mean there's a lot of people.
Oh, no. They were huge.
Okay. They're big girls.
Yeah.
And they started getting into it with the police, and the video is on KWAM's website, social media pages, and they physically beat and assault the police. We've got some audio here. Let's play cut number 18.
Don't put your hands on her! Get your hands off of her! Get your hands off of her!
Hey,
man, she did.
All right. So we should explain to people what Maine means, because that's like Memphis language.
Yeah.
Memphisese.
What's up, Maine?
What's up, Maine? Maine is man.
It's, yeah, short
with
for man.
E.
Yeah.
Maine.
That's what you call everybody. But Todd's a Maine.
Isn't man short for man? Because Maine is longer than man.
Yeah, no.
Just want to point that out.
Can you also point out the, I hate to do this, Todd, because this is 2025 and we reconciled race problems in this nation years ago. Do you want to tell them about the skin color of said officers that are, I guess, brutalizing these women?
So this is black on black on African violence, right? So you've got the black, everybody, there are actually a couple of white cops, and you can see them distancing themselves very quickly, saying, yeah, we're not, and I don't blame them. Because, but they're saying the cops are racist, but the cops are black. And the owners and the operators of this global cafe are African. So I'm shocked by this.
Now the Black Lives Matter protests are demanding a full citywide boycott of this global cafe.
The African business.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure. But you know what? There's something going on with this generation, this particular generation of black women, because those were the same people, the Jasmine Crockett's and all of those folks that are protesting Ayanna Pressley. They've got a chip on their shoulder. And now we're getting word that some of these people actually go around to different restaurants, and if they don't get their way, they immediately scream racism, and then they call for their posse.
And then they accuse said business, or in this case, this would have been Memphis police officers who were just trying to do their job, of racism. And then they call their attorney, who is, you know, Ben Crump and Al Sharpton. And then they get a lawsuit. How else are you supposed to pay your rent? That's what they're doing.
It's sad, but we stand with the police officers, and they did nothing wrong. One of the police officers had to be taken to Regional 1.
Yeah, one of the women actually lunged at the officer's neck.
Now, that's what black privilege looks like, because if that had been white folk out there, I guarantee doggone to you they would have been tased, mm-hmm. and they should have been tased. If you're, I don't care what your skin color is, you lay your hands on a police officer, you get what's coming to you.
Yeah.
And my hat is off to the Memphis police officers out there, because they were incredibly patient. They were gentle. They were trying to de-escalate, but they wanted this. They wanted the mob action,
yeah.
which is what they got.
Yeah, and they ended up in the bushes. They're lucky. They ended up in the shrubs, because in the video, the police officers, if you have five women all weighing over 300 pounds, lunging at these officers, grabbing their necks, the officers had to do something. They simply just rolled these chicks over into the bushes. So you had all these screaming women, which you just heard, rolling around in the shrubs. They're lucky.
We lost a couple of azalea bushes last night. So thoughts and prayers for the horticulturalist. They're in mourning. It was sad.
Yeah.
Flattened those bushes. Flattened them. All right, we got to take a break. So anyway, we salute you, Memphis Police Department, and thank you for being gentle with those people. It's a tough job, law enforcement everywhere. But again, the broader issue is there is a sense of lawlessness, and this is what Donald Trump is fighting against. This is what the border czar, Tom Homan, is fighting, and it is going to be a long struggle. But I am telling you, if these 2 weeks have proven anything, folks, it is that Donald Trump is in charge. He's put the right people in place. These individuals are not messing around. They're not playing games. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Congress holding a hearing later today on banks that have been targeting conservatives and shutting them down. That is a very clear and present danger to many conservative business owners and many conservatives out there. That's one of the reasons that we are excited to be a part of Old Glory Bank, co-founded back in 2022 by Dr. Ben Carson, Larry Elder, and John Rich. Old Glory Bank now serves tens of thousands of customers in all 50 states. And I want you to go and check them out. By the way, they are FDIC insured, and they were created to protect your privacy, security, and liberty. OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. That's OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. Go check them out today. You can open your account online, and you can actually put your money in the hands of people you can trust. So, again, go check them out right now, OldGloryBank.com/Starnes, and they're going to get you set up and open up a bank account in a bank that will protect your freedom and your liberty. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Interesting story out of Fox. Alexandra Koch is the writer of this piece. Army recruiting shatters records after President Trump's election win. Now, this is a big deal because we've been telling you for the past 4 years that the nobody was signing up. Nobody wanted to be a part of the military. And could you blame the young men of America who in their right mind would want to join a military where you might have to share a bunk with a drag queen? Nobody wants that. Get lipstick on the sheets. It's terrible. So the U.S. Army now announcing that trend has now been reversed, and dramatically, they're saying that December 2024 was the most productive recruiting year in 15 years. The branch reporting, the Army reporting, it enlisted nearly 350 soldiers every day of December. Quote, our recruiters have one of the toughest jobs, inspiring the next generation of soldiers to serve. Congratulations and keep up the great work. That's the message from that Army recruiting officials wrote on X. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth taking to X as well, saying America's youth want to serve under the bold and strong America First leadership of President Donald Trump. No doubt about that. In 2023, the Army unveiled a series of sweeping changes to its recruiting enterprise, and instead they focused on DEI hires. All of that is now changing. Still, the U.S. military missed its recruiting goals by 41,000. That was back in 2023. In 2024, the Army announced it was cutting its force by 24,000 in a restructuring move. That's a 5% job cut. But the good news now, ladies and gentlemen, is that people are returning to the armed forces of America. And I'm curious to hear why. Maybe you've got a son or a daughter or a grandchild, and they decided to sign up for the military. I'd be very curious to hear why they decided to do that. What was their reasoning, their rationale? So give us a call, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. Now, coming up, we're going to be talking to Tyler O'Neill, the managing editor of the Daily Signal. Also, Congressman David Kustoff joins us and Congressman Mike Flood from Nebraska. So we've got a lot of stuff going on today. And don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show. We always have a lot of fun. It's amazing. I get these numbers every day, and it's really impressive, the growth of our show. So we certainly appreciate all you folks watching us on Newsmax TV. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. In the meantime, head over to the website, toddstearns.com. Go check out all of our great stories, great content for you there as well. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, no surprise here. Lara Trump has just been hired by Fox News Channel. She's going to be hosting a weekend, so a show, a Saturday show on Fox. New York Times breaking that story just a few minutes ago. Of course, Lara Trump did one heck of a job co-chairing the RNC, getting that ship righted. Suzanne Scott says Lara was a total professional and a natural when she was with us years ago. She is very talented and strong, effective communicator, and her father-in-law is the president. I added that last part in there. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. A brand-new book out you need to go read. It's called The Woke Topus, The Dark Money Cabal Manipulating the Federal Government. Let's bring in Tyler O'Neill, author of that great book, managing editor of the Daily Signal. Tyler, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, doing well. Glad to be here.
So look, I'm really curious about the massive outrage here from the deep state, and that's what I call this federal bureaucracy, the deep state, protesting Elon Musk. He's only just started, Tyler. I can't even imagine where all of this is going to end up.
Yes. No, I mean, they're already having a conniption. I think it's very important to realize just how big, you know, you talk about the deep state. When I say deep state, I mean a phenomenon where the bureaucrats who are supposed to serve the president in the executive branch oppose the people's elected president. And so the phenomenon of the deep state is very much propped up and helped along by these federal agencies that are in many cases not accountable to the president or to Congress. And so it's very important to hold back, to restrain the abuses of these federal agencies. And that's exactly what DOGE is all about. It's about cutting wasteful spending and abuse in the federal government. And so they are terrified. You know, right now there's the lawsuit from the American Federation of Government Employees, which is a public sector union that represents federal employees, and they're trying to fight to make sure that Elon Musk can't have any of the data, any of the documents about these federal employees. Never mind that, you know, Musk's entire job is to try to restrain wasteful spending and abuse in the federal government. And he can't really do that very well if he doesn't have access to these records. So what we're seeing, you know, my book focuses on the woke activist groups that were pulling the strings in the Biden administration. Many of these groups are actually working with AFGE to oppose Trump's reforms that would undermine the deep state. And so it's very important for Americans to be able to understand what's going on and for DOGE to know who the nefarious actors are. And I name names in the book, and I have this big chart where I show exactly where the influence was trickling down. Big donors like George Soros and his Open Society Foundation propping up a lot of these woke activist groups that then staff and advise the federal government.
I'm curious, and I want to get to George Soros in just a moment. There's some new reporting coming out, and Elon was sharing this about the amount of money that's been given to legacy media. We call them drive-by media here on this program. According to the reporting, the U.S. government gave the New York Times tens of millions of dollars over the past 5 years. But they did not do that in the years preceding 2021. So the implication here is Biden gets elected and all of a sudden they turn on the spigot and the New York Times is getting tens of millions of dollars. We know that the BBC was given money through USAID to produce TV shows that were anti-Trump. I mean, this is really I'm wondering at what point does all of this become criminal?
Yeah, that is outside the scope of, my expertise. But I will say that much of this funding, much of this influence campaign really strikes me as nefarious and bad for the American people. When you're talking about all these grants that USAID was shoveling out the door to promote woke causes, you know, transgender operas, transgender plays in Peru, you know, promoting DEI in, I think it was Albania. I mean, it's like all this stuff, it seems like Mad Libs, or it seems like something you'd see on the Babylon Bee, and yet this is what our tax dollars were funding. And this is why it's very important. I mean, Trump is restructuring USAID. He has Marco Rubio taking over. Most of the employees are getting laid off. We have we have a good process now that's finally addressing this, but USAID is one aspect of the vast, you know, wokeization.
Oh, it's just a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, exactly. And all of this, like, it needs to be exposed. It needed to be exposed, you know, yesterday. It needed to be exposed years ago, and now it's finally on hold. And, you know, I think Americans are a generous people, but we don't like it when our tax dollars No, the money that the government shakes you down for is then taking that money and then saying, oh, well, we should use this charitably across the world. Like, no, Americans want people in other parts of the world to have better lives. But you don't use tax dollars to do that. Our tax dollars should be protecting American interests. And the fact that they're promoting these ideologies, it just adds insult to injury.
I mean, look, and I'm with you there, and I've got a big problem, and I'm a conservative, good old Southern Baptist guy here. I got a big problem with my tax money going to denominations, religious groups, and they're using that money to basically bring in and take care of these illegals. And again, there's nothing wrong with being compassionate, but you need to be compassionate with your own tithes and offerings and not my tax money.
Yes, exactly. I have a whole chapter in the book about the immigration industrial complex where I go into all of those nonprofits. And, you know, it's like Catholic Charities. One of the figures I found that made my jaw drop was that Catholic Charities receives more money in federal government grants than it receives in private donations, in charitable donations. And, you know, you look at most of these NGOs that have been moving illegal aliens across the country. Now, they're making the border crisis a national crisis, and many of them receive more money from the federal government than they receive in charitable contributions, to the degree that it's almost like they're wards of the state, these groups, and they wear their faith on their sleeve. And look, I am all about helping and taking care of the less fortunate when we can, where we can, but that doesn't mean you aid and abet the mass violation of immigration law. It doesn't mean, you know, there are things, I'm Anglican myself, but I did a chapter because I was focused on this and had multiple Catholic groups in the chapter. I went into a little bit of Catholic social teaching. There's a lot of misunderstanding. There's nothing in Catholic social teaching that says a country has to give up its national interest to serve the less fortunate. There's nothing in Catholic social teaching that says you should violate the law when it comes to helping people come into this country just to, you know, in the name of charity. That's not what Catholic social teaching says. And the fact that so many of these nonprofits are trying to weaponize our faith in order to abet this immigration crisis is just beyond the pale.
So the name of the book, folks, it's called The Woke Topus, the Dark Money Cabal Manipulating the Federal Government. Tyler O'Neill, the author of this great book, managing editor at the Daily Signal. Tyler, I'm curious if you dig into George Soros and the Open Society Foundation, because it seems to me that there's got to be some sort of connection between what Soros is doing and what USAID has been up to.
Yes. Definitely. Actually, that's my one of my most recent articles that I published yesterday was talking about the dovetailing between Open Society and USAID. It's fascinating. I had a former USAID COO tell me that essentially what would happen is Open Society Foundations, which is the huge network established by George Soros, now run by his son Alex Soros, would fund specific groups in other countries and partner with USAID in doing so. So what you'd often see, and of course there are documents showing specifically back when the Open Society Foundations was called, I think it was the George Soros Fund or something. It had a different name, but you can see from their documents that they say, oh yeah, we directly partner with USAID, other groups in other countries. And, you know, what would happen is they'd fund a group, USAID would fund the same group, often for the same project. And so when Trump froze foreign funding, when Marco Rubio came in and cleaned house at USAID, they're depriving George Soros's big left-wing funding network of a key partner and ally. And it is just astonishing to me that USAID was an ideological ally of George Soros and his funding across the globe. But that's what we found. And, you know, There were two Supreme Court cases where one of the nonprofits under the Open Society umbrella, they filed a lawsuit against USAID. And it's funny, if you look up USAID, the Open Society, there's not one Supreme Court case, but there's two. And it's because the Open Society group did so much work with USAID and with U.S. government funding that they were able to sue and claim standing to sue because there was a law saying that you couldn't have aid funding unless it went to an NGO that had a pledge to oppose prostitution. And that was a bridge too far for Open Society. So they sued. In the first lawsuit, they won at the Supreme Court. The second lawsuit, they lost. But it's really, you know, it's quite a revealing story that not only do we know that Open Society was working closely with USAID, they worked so closely together that USAID would take Society would take USAID to court twice, all the way to the Supreme Court.
All right, Tyler, gotta leave it there. We're super late for a break. Congratulations on the new book, folks. Get yourself a copy. Tyler, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me. You can find the Woke to Post on Amazon, and you can find me in the Daily Signal on X, Truth Social, all other platforms.
All right. Thank you again. All right. There you go, folks. Tyler O'Neill from the Daily Signal. Got to take a quick break here. And the exciting news, American greatness is being restored. And what better place to watch that restoration than Newsmax? Tens of millions of Americans are turning off Fox and CNN, and they're turning into Newsmax for the breaking information they really need to know. Reuters now calling Newsmax one of the top news brands in America. You can find it on all major cable systems and your TV and your smartphone. All you have to do is download the Newsmax app for free and start watching today. You can find out why millions of Americans have made the switch, predominantly to watch my show there. Even President Trump says Newsmax is terrific, so you can make the switch right now. Check us out on cable and satellite or download the Newsmax app. Newsmax is real news for real people. All right, welcome back, everybody. So Caroline Leavitt's holding the White House press briefing, and we've got some audio. Caroline Leavitt is now acknowledging that we have been spending millions of dollars on Politico, one of the far left news organizations. Dylan, let's play that audio.
So upon coming out here to the briefing room, I was made aware of the funding from USAID to media outlets, including Politico, who I know has a seat in this room. And I can confirm that the more than $8 million taxpayer dollars that have gone to essentially subsidizing subscriptions to Politico on the American taxpayer's dime will no longer be happening. The DOGE team is working on canceling those payments now. Again, this is a whole of government effort to ensure that we are going line by line when it comes to the federal government's books. And this president and his team are making decisions across the board on, do these receipts serve the interests of the American people? Is this a good use of the American taxpayers' money? If it is not, that funding will no longer be sent abroad, and American taxpayers will see.
All right. So look, I want you to understand what's happening here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is really extraordinary. Because a few moments ago, we also learned that your tax money has been used to subsidize the New York Times, tens of millions of dollars. In just 2024 of August, in just 1 month, all right, 1 month, the U.S. government gave the New York Times $4.1 million. Now, according to the reporting that we're looking at here, the bulk of the funding came from the Department of Health and Human Services. $26.9 million of our money being given to the New York Times, the National Science Foundation, $19.1 million. That's all your money. And so do you understand, are the puzzle pieces coming together now? Do you understand now why all of these news organizations have been so opposed, not only to Donald Trump over the years, but also Republicans and conservatives? And the reason why is that they have been blackmailed. They've been bought. Ladies and gentlemen, this is criminal. And I want you to understand something. And I have a little different perspective than just being a talk radio host, because I also own a media company. I own the news radio station in Memphis, Tennessee. I own several media digital platforms. We don't ask for a government handout. We haven't received a handout from our federal government. And we wouldn't. And this is why it angers me that we find out not only are we paying nearly over a half a billion dollars to pay for Sesame Street programming and that idiot painting, we've got to pay for that. And I've got no problem with NPR. I've got no problem with public welfare broadcasting, but they are on welfare. And it is time to wean them off the government teat. If NPR and PBS want to put out their liberal pro-Democrat garbage, they got to do so on their own time.
But we can't afford it because all those British period dramas cost so much money, Todd.
Okay, well, you know what? Cut back on your gifts. Nobody needs a tote bag. Nobody needs an umbrella. You can figure out ways to balance your budget. But you, why would you? It would be like this. Let's just say the government decides one day, all right, we're going to go into the fried chicken business, and we're going to open up a chicken joint right across the street from Chick-fil-A. Could you imagine the Cathy family and the outrage there? Well, wait a second. Why should the money we get from our Chick-fil-A sandwiches, why should those go to fund my competition? And the same thing applies in the radio and the TV world. This is insanity. Ladies and gentlemen, you are right to be indignant about this, because what the New York Times has been doing, what Politico, and by the way, that's why Politico can't pay their people. The money's dried up. They said, that money was used for subscriptions. Subscriptions, $8 million? $8 million? Unbelievable. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of the big show. We're just getting started, and we're going to go through all this intel here. But now you know the fix has been in. Everybody's been lined up against the American people, and now the truth is coming out, and the truth will set you free, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You know, I am loving President Trump's cabinet appointees. Pam Bondi, our new attorney general, day one has issued a directive, and I want to read this to you. This is coming from our friends at Fox. Brooke Singman is the author of this piece. As for illegal immigrants, Bondi has directed the DOJ to pause all federal funding for sanctuary cities. Bondi has also directed the DOJ to identify and evaluate all funding agreements with NGOs, that's the non-governmental organizations, Catholic Charities, for example, any organization, NGO, that provides support for illegal aliens. She's also directing a litigating components of the Justice Department to investigate instances of jurisdictions that are impeding law enforcement. That's you, Mayor Johnson, out of Chicago, and directing that they may be prosecuted when necessary. That would also be the governor of New Jersey, who said that he was hiding an illegal alien in his garage. And then when Tom Homan said, we're coming your way, he said, oh, I was just kidding. So the breaking news here is that if you live in a sanctuary city, I think Memphis is a sanctuary city, we could lose federal funding. It is going to be paused. We don't know if that's an immediate pause. We're going to get some clarification on that. But clearly some exciting movement from the Attorney General of these great United States. By the way, our telephone number for this hour of the program, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. There are a lot of people that are pretty fired up over what the government is actually spending our money on. Elon shared this item from TikTok, cut number 10.
Hi, welcome to the Department of Government Efficiency. We were looking over last year's budget and we found some anomalies that we wanted to address.
Okay, if you're talking about the military budget, if you want a safe country, that's how much we...
Oh, we didn't even start looking at that yet. Get ready for that. No, we were looking at this list here. We wanted to start with the National Pillow Fluffing Initiative.
I mean, don't you want your pillow to be fluffy?
Not when you're spending over $1 million of taxpayer money. We're cutting that. Also, the Bureau of Elevator Music Standards. Explain yourself.
Forgive me for trying to set the vibe, bro.
$800,000 a year. The National Velcro Noise Study.
What's the problem here?
You don't have to spend $1 million a year to know that Velcro noise is annoying. Now, the Program of Ice Cube Uniformity and the American Cloud Watching Fund.
Okay, that one's a problem, but I'm kind of OCD and I like it when my ice cubes are all the same size and shape, you know?
Yeah, we all do, but that doesn't mean you spend $1 million. Now, the Federal Kazoo Orchestra grant?
It's amazing what they could do with those things, honestly. The Federal Bureau of Traffic Cone Counting? $256,343. You're welcome. Now, that's what I call $800,000 well spent.
You know, I don't necessarily have a problem with pillow fluffing. I mean, I think that's a pretty reasonable use of our tax dollars. Everybody wants to have a fluffy pillow. But you really don't need pillow fluffing if you have MyPillow, hashtag and promo code Starnes, MyPillow.com/Starnes. I think that's fine. So, and also the elevator music. You know, you've been there. You're in the elevator, and this used to bother me. This used to grind my gears back when I was living in New York City. My apartment was on like the 32nd floor of the high rise, and it takes a little while to get from the lobby to the 32nd floor. And so you have the music in the elevator, and it's always like what they do is they take really great songs, mm-hmm. and then they turn them into elevator music.
How do they do that? They slow down the track?
They rewrite the words. So, it's like bad to the bone or something like that. It would just be like with orchestrated music. It's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
I never have understood that. So anyway, there you go. Some of the creative things that Elon Musk is uncovering there. This is Maxine Waters. Remember her? She was telling her people to get in the faces of Trump supporters. Cut number 8, please.
This is our country. Yeah. This is not Elon Musk's country. This is not Trump's country. This is our country. We deserve to have decent jobs. We deserve to have the respect. We deserve to be treated in a way that all Americans should be treated. And so let me just tell you now, I have Elon Musk's major office in my district. He won't even meet with the local elected officials. He said he was going to tunnel under from his office all the way to the airport so he didn't have to be among the measly people on the ground to get to the airport. He is a low-down, dirty, no-good person along with Trump that cannot be trusted, and we must not be afraid of them. Again, when the people fight,
we win.
When the people fight,
we win.
When the people say that you'd better see us because we damn sure see you.
Potty mouth. You know what, Maxine? You know what Maxine deserves? Maxine has a right to a wig that stays on top of her head. It was bouncing around. That's you got to be careful when you get right. You know, she deserves
it. Sounds like she's on the cusp of, let me just say, retirement. I'm being polite. Is she okay?
She's not okay. You know what she was going to say? She paused. She called him low down, dirty. She was going to call him a dirty African. That's what she was going to say. This whole part of the story gets lost is the fact that Elon Musk is truly an African American. He is from South Africa. He is an American citizen now, but he is an African American, and they hate that. They hate that. And that comes in all seriousness, if you could imagine somebody from the other side of the aisle, I don't know, let's just say, we'll call Marjorie Taylor Greene, calling Maxine Waters dirty or Jasmine Crockett dirty.
censured from Congress.
Dirty what? Say it. Say it, you white cracker. That's what would happen.
Also, what does she mean by this is our country? This is our country, she says. What about the Democrats being so united?
I know the answer to that.
Go ahead.
I don't think we're allowed here anymore.
Oh.
I think they just want our tax money. Mm. We have to work the fields and just turn over our money. That's our
got
place.
It.
We got to stay in our place now. That's what she's saying. This is our country. That's what she said. It's not Elon's. It's not Donald Trump's. What does that even mean?
Well, you know, on November 5th, there was a clear message, and it wasn't actually your country. It was our country.
I don't think they got that message.
Oh, well, someone needs to let them know. It does make you wonder. We saw resistance to the Trump-Pence administration back in 2017 to 2020. This pales in comparison, the Trump, Vance, Elon Musk group of people. It just makes you wonder what we are in for.
So this is Congress gal Ayanna Pressley. She's the member of the
squad.
She's
the bald one.
She's got some sort of a condition. Oh. It's a medical condition. But she's the member of the group everybody forgets. Kind of like that Spice Girl. You've got one of the Spice Girls nobody can remember.
Yeah.
She's that member of the squad. Anyway, cut number two, please.
Agitating. We will see you in the courts, in Congress, in the streets. Elon Musk is a Nazi nutball baby.
What?
A godless, lawless billionaire who no one elected. Elon, this is the American people. This is not your trashy Cybertruck that you can just dismantle, pick apart, and sell the pieces of.
Well, man, what you talking about? Shut your mouth.
These people loved Elon Musk. What happened to that? Because of the Tesla trucks.
What's wrong with the Cybertrucks? What?
Okay, they are ugly, but...
Still.
Yeah.
All right. Real quick, let's go to the phone lines here. Carolyn in North Carolina. Hi, Carolyn. What say you?
Hi, Todd. I tell you, they may ought to just take the liquor away from those congressmen, and then maybe they wouldn't have such a bad attitude. And then again, they might have a worse attitude.
Caroline, they're really wound up, I'll tell you that much.
They are. And I tell you, these 13-year-olders that are committing these crimes, I tell you, when my kids were 12, 13, on up to about 16, we had control of them. These parents need control of these kids, and they ought to be responsible for anything that happens. If they're killed, the parents ought to be responsible.
Carolyn, my philosophy on that is, that's right. If you're 11, 12 years old, I think mom and dad need to be facing the same charges that the kid's facing. We got to start playing hardball here.
Right. And I'm tickled to death with what Trump's doing. And it's just comical how the Democrats are taking it.
All right, Carolyn, we got to leave it there. Good call. Thank you for listening. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's Radio Show. And again, to repeat the breaking news, Pam Bondi now announcing that federal funding will be halted for all sanctuary cities across America. So good for you, Pam Bondi. And there ought to be a lot of outrage over there. And again, if the sanctuary cities want to take care of the illegals, that's great. They can do it without our tax dollars. It's really that simple. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend from the great state of Tennessee. He happens to be my congressman, Congressman David Kostoff. Congressman, I hope you're doing good today.
Hey, Todd. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on this afternoon.
So, Congressman, a couple of things before we get into DOGE and what's been happening there. I want to get your reaction to the news yesterday. Benjamin Netanyahu calling President Trump the greatest friend Israel's ever had. And maybe it was just me, but Netanyahu appeared to be stifling some laughter at times as he was listening to President Trump talk about his plans for the Middle East.
You know, Todd, we all go into meetings and whatnot, and you know, you may have expectations about how things are going to go and what you can, what the benefit's going to be. I'm pretty sure that Benjamin Netanyahu in no way anticipated how successful a venture would be to be the first foreign leader to visit Donald Trump in the White House in Donald Trump's second term as president. I'm sure that he probably had high expectations, but what President Trump did and promised and talked about had to exceed Netanyahu's expectations, and certainly that, maybe more importantly, the Israeli people and fair-minded people in this country and in the Middle East and around the world.
So I want to go back, and I was trying to put into context for our audience. A lot of them are young, and they were not alive when places like Tehran or Beirut were once known as the Paris of the Middle East. That's how they described Beirut. Tehran was just a beautiful city. And I'm wondering if that sort of that thinking worked into President Trump wanting to turn the Gaza Strip into some sort of a world-class tourist destination. I mean, I know it sounds outrageous, but when you think about it, it's like, you know, that's not actually a bad idea.
Yeah, you know, you think about the history of the Middle East, and certainly you highlighted some really important points, but then you think about the tensions, the wars, the conflicts, the hatred. I mean, some of that has been going on literally for thousands of years against the Jewish people. And so you've got Donald Trump, who was clearly elected in November, reelected with a mandate. You look at the electoral vote, you look at the popular vote, you look at the issues that he talked about day after day after day, and the American people responded resoundingly. And then in these first 15, 16 days in office, there's been more activity during these 16 days in office with Trump than there probably were in 16 months under Biden or 4 years under Biden. But Trump also, he looks at it from a leader's point of view, but also from a developer's point of view. And so I think the American people, when they voted for him, one thing is they like this out-of-the-box thinking. And certainly what President Trump talked about yesterday in the White House with Prime Minister Netanyahu is clearly thinking way outside the box and very creative and positive for the Israeli people.
I want to run a name by you for the resort. I'm throwing this into the mix. Gazamago. You like that one, Congressman?
It does have a little bit of a ring.
It's got a ring to it, right? It's familiar. But you know, what I find fascinating is, and you're right, there's so much hatred there. Everybody knows they've got a problem. The Egyptians don't want the Gazans. Syria doesn't want them. Jordan, nobody wants them. So at least Trump is offering, at least starting the conversation. Nobody has even been willing to do that.
Right. And to try to make the way of life better for everybody in that area. And
yeah.
So I appreciate the fact that he has lent the power and authority of the United States and the presidency of the United States to Israel. And look, you know, the main thing is we need to get the remaining hostages released by these, terrorists who came in on October the 7th, 2023, and changed everybody's way of life in that part of the world.
Real quick, Congressman, we're getting word from the White House that it looks as though tens of millions of tax dollars were used and they were funneled into organizations like Politico and the New York Times. I suspect we're going to find more. The more we find out, the more disgusted I am with what's been going on inside the bureaucracy there in Washington, D.C.
Right. I mean, I talked about these first 16 days, and Elon Musk and others in President Trump's orbit that he's commissioned have discovered a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse. We're going to continue to see this, but also importantly, Todd, on the congressional level, through our investigations and our oversight, we're going to uncover quite a bit over these next few weeks and next few months. And so I welcome that, and let's shine sunlight so the American people can see where their money has been going.
No, well said. And Congressman, we want to get you back on once you guys start exposing a lot of that, you know, that money. And also, real quick, your reaction to the Attorney General Pam Bondi cracking down on these sanctuary cities. Is that a good move?
You know, so Pam Bondi, we're very satisfied and pleased and excited that Pam Bondi has been confirmed as the Attorney General and that she's on the job. And you know, to your point about the sanctuary cities, this is among her first official actions as the Attorney General. President Trump and his nominees, when he thought about appointing these men and women to these very important, powerful positions, it was about shaking up the way things have been done. And so I'm pleased at Pam Bondi's efforts her first few hours on the job as Attorney General.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate your good words and look forward to seeing you back in Memphis very soon.
Thank you, Todd, very much. Thank you.
All right. Congressman David Kustoff there. He liked Gazamago. I'm telling you, I think we might have a winner there. All right. Hang tight, everybody. We're going right to your calls, 901-260-5926. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines, as promised, 901-260-5926. William in North Carolina. Hi, William. What's on your mind?
Well, hello, my long-term deplorable. We are deplorable. And thank you for saying something earlier that really lit a fire up under. I've listened to you forever.
Well, William, William, hang tight. I want to work on your let's make sure he's not on a speakerphone. And folks, if you're calling into the Todd Stern Show, make sure you're not on a speakerphone. And guys, let's try to get that that audio cleaned up there. Let's go to John in Kentucky. Hi, John. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Mr. Stern. Real quick, Secretary Bondi already made the point. But the Catholic charities, the ones that are harboring these illegal immigrants, all these different these nonprofits, what you do is you revoke their 501(c)s. You shut them down. I know the Catholic charities might not like it, but they're the ones that started this by hiding and harboring these illegal immigrants. Todd, I am a legal immigrant sworn in 1968. I don't think it's fair for all these people waiting in line. And they might sound heartless. No, Israel has borders. Every country that has borders enforces their borders with military and everything else. You've seen what they've done. But this country seems like it's the only one that's allowing these illegal immigrants to come into this country. And thank God that Donald Trump invoked these different type of executive caveats. But right now, just cut off all their funding. They complain and start and let the ICE agents do their jobs.
John, I mean, you're making a lot of sense here. We're the only country in the world that lets illegals do what they're doing. Any other country, you violate their sovereignty, you cross their borders without their permission, you're going to jail. We are literally the only nation in America where they expect for our borders to be open. And the reason why is they want to turn our country into what they're dealing with in Gaza right now. I mean, that's ultimately the point of this, turning American cities and towns into third world countries. And it just cannot be. And we had this conversation last week with the good people of Gainesville, Georgia. And some of you called in and you talked about the conditions in some of the once beautiful communities and neighborhoods that have been decimated by the arrival of the illegals. All right, I think we got William back with us. All right, William, good to have you with us. I know you wanted to weigh in on the Catholic Church.
I do, and thank you, Todd. Thank you for being a deplorable one of us. I have been for all these years. And I'll tell you what, you said something earlier that really got me. I am a Roman Catholic. I was born and raised in the Deep South in the Baptist bottle bed, so that wasn't so easy. But what I just found out, I've always, if I have it to give, I give it. I tithe, I volunteer. I give money to charity. And that's my money that I voluntarily give. I had no idea that our government, and this is what this amounts to now, this is taxation without representation. I gave no one permission in this government, we the people, by the way, I gave them no authority to take money out of the taxes that I pay because I work. I gave them no authority to give that money to facilitate criminal activity. And I don't care if these people coming over are violent or not. By the very nature of coming over illegally, that is a crime. And I've worked with a lot of people with the Catholic Charities where we help people go through the process. It's a long and arduous process. And they stand in line. You know, that they're the ones doing it the right way. Well, these ones are not doing it the right way. By the very nature of what they're doing, they're displacing somebody who respects the law and respects our nation, respects this country. And that's what I'm saying is I've always been one to say, look, if I've got it, I'll give it. If I need it, I will not steal. I'll ask. I'll say, hey, brother, can you help me out? I'm down right now. And I've been on both sides, believe me. Going on 80 years, I found it always works. Because if you're willing, I believe most folks is good. But there are those who are not. And I think it is absolutely criminal to find out that our government is funding, supposedly, the Roman Catholic Church to house and comfort illegal aliens. I simply think that's wrong.
Well, let me say this, William. Let me jump in here for a second. It's not just the Catholics. You've got the Lutherans and the Episcopalians and a whole bunch of others. But what's happening, especially with the Catholics, the Catholic Church has become the de facto state church of America because we're funding it. That's what gets me, the amount of money going to the Catholic Church. And I don't care if it was Baptist, and there may be Baptists in there. I don't know. But whoever it is, we've got no business giving taxpayer money to any religious organization. I am a born-again Christian, and I am telling you, I don't want my federal tax money going to even my local church. That's not our money to be had.
Thank you. You are exactly right. And if I may say one more thing, because it really, this burned me. I thought Maxine Waters had just exploded and gone away. And to hear her say about I would like to remind Ms. Waters that my ancestors died so that this could be all of our country, all of us, not black, not white, not the Chinese who upstate, not the Irish, who all of us, every single one of us, to have the nerve to say that my country, our country, you know, and act like you own it. Why? Well, how about all of us? How about all of us?
Well, William, William, I gotta leave it there. But it's a great point, and people, there are people like Maxine Waters who are. I cannot go because I don't know Maxine Waters' heart. I mean, clearly a dark soul. There's nothing there. There's no love in that woman's life. She is evil. When you hear the words coming out of her mouth, those are evil words. Those are racist words coming out of her mouth. The idea that America is not for white people, right? Or African Americans. I mean, that's what she's saying. She's saying that the only people, I guess, allowed in America are people like her. I guess that's what she's saying. I mean, she needs to qualify her remarks because it came out wrong. Maybe she didn't mean to be a racist. But that kind of thinking is what you see in the teachings of critical race theory and the BM movement. Pardon me, that's Bal movement, the BLM movement. I'm just saying. 901-260-5926. Now, Mediaite, which is another far-left rag, they're now attacking anybody who suggests that Politico was getting funded by the USAID. I want to explain what we're talking about here. They got $8.1 million, and Politico is now saying those were subscriptions. $8.1 million in subscriptions? How many people were getting Politico's product? So, folks, don't don't read these headlines. You can't believe them. But I'm telling you that, yes, $8.1 million of your tax money went to Politico's bank account, and that is not right. And again, I got a lot of hate mail yesterday when I was talking about the religious organizations. People are saying, well, Todd, that money that the government is giving the churches is going to feed the poor. Well, you know what? The Bible says that you, Christians, are supposed to feed the poor, not the federal government. So do your damn job. Why is it that the government is giving you money? If you want to feed the poor, go out there, get your tithes, get your offerings. Here's a thought. You don't have to have a $340 million sanctuary that doubles as some sort of a spaceship. Maybe, just maybe, use some of that money. I'm just saying. This is outrageous. And by the way, this is what our founding fathers were warning us about. Because hear me on this, ladies and gentlemen. The minute your church takes a single dollar from the federal government, they own you. They own you. And I don't like being owned, ladies and gentlemen. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, time to go old school, ladies and gentlemen. Ben Dieter, when you were a kid, did you ever go to McDonald's, Mickey D's?
No, I've never been to Mickey D's, Todd.
You've never been to McDonald's?
Of course I have. Oh. I was the king of Happy Meals. The Ronald McDonald, all the things.
Well, they're bringing back a beloved character. This is exciting. I don't know what's going on with McDonald's, but they're trying to fix what's broken about McDonald's.
There's a lot broken.
There is, predominantly the ice cream machines, but I will say this, I drive through on occasion at the, I go through the drive through and everybody's always pleasant, very kind, mm-hmm. Aside from the time I got the Big Mac and they forgot to put the meat on it.
That was a crime.
But it was turned out to be a great, delicious vegan Big Mac. it was basically a salad on a bun. So McDonald's is bringing back their green milkshakes. This is the mint. This is for St. Patrick's
the
Day.
The Shamrock Shake. The Shammy Shakes.
Mm-hmm. And Grimace, you know, the beloved Grimace, is reuniting with Uncle O'Grimacy.
Oh.
Who is his Irish uncle.
Arg. So this is exciting.
No, that's the pirate.
Do you like Shamrock Shakes?
I love Shamrock Shakes.
They're incredible. They're also bringing back the McRib. Remember those? Because they tabled those, and now they're bringing back. So not only is the Trump in, not only is America in the golden era, but so is McDonald's.
This is exciting. So McDonald's also going to sell Uncle O'Grimacy-themed merchandise. I don't remember Uncle Grimace.
I know Grimace, but I don't know the uncle.
I don't remember Uncle O'Grimacy. Does any of you folks out there remember Uncle O'Grimacy? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. I do not remember. I mean, you had the Hamburglar, who was the criminal, Mayor McCheese. You had
Ronald McDonald.
Who else was there? I think that was it. Oh, the little nugget people, but they creep me out. By the way, I saw a documentary on how chicken nuggets are made.
Let me guess.
I can't eat them anymore. I just...
Talk to God and RFK Jr. Because he's working on that.
I mean, I know that God shapes the meat into a chicken. I get that.
Yeah.
Or the nugget. But it's just, I don't know.
With Super Bowl Sunday around the corner, are you a bone-in wing guy or a bone-out?
No, I... So a bone out is a chicken tender. So I'm old school. I like, you know, my but I'm not a big sauce guy. So
wow.
I like, yeah, my favorite wings. I know this is going to disgust people, but my favorite wings are actually from Papa John's, and I love it without their. I just like them roasted,
just plain,
just plain.
Mm, that's
and they're really good.
I love Buffalo Wild Wings.
Are you a sauce? Do you have a particular sauce that you like?
I love buffalo sauce.
Oh, so you're a traditional.
Spicy, yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the way you're from Pennsylvania.
Yep.
You know, Trump's going to the Super Bowl, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of people are upset about it.
Why are they upset?
Because they said that he is very divisive. I know there was an op-ed in USA Today
where
their sports contributor said this is the most divisive man we have ever seen since essentially Adolf Hitler. And this is the first that you have a president going to a Super Bowl game.
These people, they kill me. They slay me.
But Travis Kelce, did you see that? Let's face it. He's the face of Pfizer, so I'm not going to guess that he got in the voting booth and voted for Trump, but he is pretty excited about Trump showing up to the inauguration.
Is that the one dating What's-Her-Face?
Yeah, okay. And Taylor Swift, of course, she endorsed Kamala Harris, so I'm wondering, you've got President Trump in one box, Taylor Swift in the other.
You know, if you're Taylor Swift, I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but you're sitting there at the Grammys last Sunday night, and you hear that Beyonce won the best album of the year for literally an album that nobody bought and everybody hated. You got to be sitting there thinking to yourself, I just got screwed. I mean, I'm just saying.
I have a thought because here's the deal. Beyonce made a genre swap. She went from pop, or some would say R&B rap or whatever, and not rap. You would say pop, right? Beyonce's kind of the queen of pop, Queen Bee. So she went into country. And Taylor Swift did the opposite of that. And that's why they actually had Taylor Swift get up there and announce the Grammy Award winner, which was Beyonce, because Taylor Swift went from country, made the swap over to pop.
You see, I've never considered Taylor Swift to be country, ever. Ever.
No, she had some great country. Dylan shaking her. She's a girl from Tennessee.
No, she's a Nashville not. Girl. She's from Pennsylvania.
Okay, but then she came to...
your people.
Okay, I'm going to fight you on this one, Todd. She should have probably stayed in country, because I thought she did pretty good at country. Then she went over and got super woke and then dabbled into the pop genre.
So, Dylan, what say you?
Yeah, her first two albums were country.
And they were good.
No, were they, though?
I mean, she had the country twang. I mean, the accent. Oh. So if you want to say that's country.
No, that's fake. That's fake country. That's faux country.
She was in Tennessee when she recorded it. So
she ain't Dolly Parton, I'll tell you that much. Or Reba.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
She's not.
No, she's not Reba. You're right about that. But Red was a great album.
Definitely not Dolly. So,
all right, moving on.
The NFL, speaking of, I'm fascinated by this. So the NFL is still embracing DEI, right? So you had Roger Goodell, and he's saying, we're still embracing DEI, but they're going to remove the end racism slogan from the end zones during the Super Bowl.
Does that mean we're greenlighting racism, or are they just stepping away from a controversial?
I think they're going to replace it with the words Trump.
Oh.
T-U-R-M-P.
And Trump or pro-Trump?
It's got to be pro-Trump.
Oh.
Oh, no. Instead, this is ridiculous. Instead, the NFL is going to paint the logo Choose Love.
Oh, I love that.
The NFL says the league felt it was a more appropriate message given all that has happened in our country in recent memory. The Super Bowl is a snapshot in time, and the NFL is in a unique position to capture. You know what? Every old school NFL player is rolling over in his grave right now.
And every fan.
That too.
Especially if they hate the Chiefs, because how do you choose love if you hate the Chiefs?
And all the football, well, and all the commercials are going to be womanly, so it's going to be an interesting Super Bowl Sunday.
Baby steps, okay, Todd? Baby steps.
I do wonder, so are they going to be serving like the little cucumber sandwiches with the crust cut off? Is that what they're going to have a tea? Is that what they're going to do? Anyway, it's in New Orleans, and so everybody's really concerned about the terrorism thing. You know, by the way, that's the thing. Nobody talks about that terrorist attack in New Orleans. It's like that never happened. It's like that never happened.
Wait, what happened in New Orleans?
Thank you, Ben Dieter.
Okay.
You just proved my point. All right, coming up tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax TV, we have a full lineup for you folks. We're going to do a blow-by-blow of Pam Bondi, what's happening with the defunding of the sanctuary cities. Also, the very latest on the threats coming out of the Democrats. They are now threatening violence in the streets, and they're not apologizing for that at all. In the meantime, head over to toddstearns.com. Be sure to download our free podcast and our newsletter. Lots of great content for you there. Folks, get out there. Have a great one. You be good, America.